Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, brought to you by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. My name is Jason Venkis, and I am your host and the founder of Momentum. I'm an award-winning and published certified personal trainer and board-certified holistic health coach. You have questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, and we have answers. Every week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions about fitness and health so that we can answer them for you. Tune in here every week at 3 p.m. Central Time or listen archived at any time by visiting our page right here at Blog Talk Radio. You can also find helpful videos at findingyourmomentum.com and on Facebook. Just search for Momentum Fitness and Health, and that's where you'll find us. So today, I want to talk about intermittent fasting. It's been around for a while, so there's more information for us to use in order to form an opinion. It's relatively new still, but it's been around long enough. Now, for those of you who aren't sure what it is, nerdfitness.com says this. Intermittent fasting is not a diet, but rather a dieting pattern. In simpler terms, it's making a conscious decision to skip certain meals. By fasting and then feasting on purpose, intermittent fasting means eating your calories during a specific window of the day and choosing not to eat food during the rest of the day. Now, there are a few different ways to take advantage of intermittent fasting, according to Nerd Fitness. And the most popular one is regularly eating during a specific time period. For example, only eating from noon to 8, which is from noon to 8 p.m., which is pretty popular, only eat for about 8 hours, essentially skipping breakfast. Now, some people only eat in a 6-hour window, or some people go to an extreme and eat only in a 4-hour window. There's also the method of skipping 2 meals one day, taking a full 24 hours off from eating. So, for example, eating on a normal schedule, finishing dinner at 8 p.m., and then not eating again until 8 p.m. the following day. Now, you might be thinking, okay, so skipping a meal. I just eat less calories than normally overall, and thus I will lose weight, right? Well, again, according to Nerd Fitness, that's only partly true. Yes, by cutting out an entire meal, you are able to eat more food during your other meals and still consume a caloric deficit, which is an important factor for losing weight. However, as we already know that not all calories are created equal, the timing of meals can also influence how your body reacts. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this when I get to my opinions about intermittent fasting. So people try to eat within an 8-hour period and then not at all for the rest of the day. With many people, this is going to lead to weight loss, and it might lead to some other benefits. So here are the proposed benefits of intermittent fasting. The first thing that proponents of intermittent fasting will tell you is that you are living longer, or you'll be able to live longer, by eating less. Now, this comes from research done in the 1930s, which discovered that the best way to extend the life of an animal is to eat less, and that's to live a life of caloric restriction. This was done with rats and mice. Now, the caloric restriction groups were noted to have decreased in blood pressure, fasting insulin, inflammation, triglycerides, total cholesterol, and body mass. Now, all markers to say that the aging process is slowed down, including more protection at the cell level against diseases. More and more research shows that intermittent fasting could have benefits, they said as well. Now, fasting alone is more powerful in preventing and reversing some diseases than drugs, according to Dr. Panda. I can't pronounce her first name. It's about 16 letters long, but she's an associate professor of regulatory biology at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies. Now, more and more research shows that intermittent fasting could have benefits. Prior research suggested in animals, intermittent fasting can fend off or even reverse such illnesses as cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and neurodegenerative disorders. Animal studies suggest that intermittent fasting provides these benefits by allowing the body to respond better to stress that might otherwise damage it. For example, fasting could starve tumors, reduce inflammation, or improve the removal of damaged molecules in other components of cells, according to researchers. Also, according to researchers, intermittent fasting helps the body to rejuvenate and repair, thereby promoting overall health. And this is what Dr. Panda has said. Now, in addition, the body may respond better to meals eaten at some times of the day rather than others because of the body's circadian rhythms. So those are the proposed benefits. Now, unfortunately, there's also a downside to taking this caloric restriction approach, including the loss of lean muscle and getting really, really skinny, loss of energy, being hungry, which, as you know, being hungry can make you moody, loss of mental focus and well-being, increases in anxiety, depression, and irritability, and just nothing that any of us would really want to go through. Now, one of the major problems with this type of eating is rebound overeating. Just like the 800-calorie-a-day HCG diet, which, as you may or may not know, has been sued for fraud, when you come off of these restrictive days, people tend to overeat because they're so hungry. The same can be said if you just skip breakfast and then go for a long run. Marathoners will destroy their fridge. Trust me, I've been there myself. But now a report from ABC News' Cynthia Sass showed that many who attempt to cut off eating at 4 p.m. with the intention of eating again at 8 a.m., so that's a big, long break, often have thoughts about food or have to watch family members eating, eating and then end up raiding the refrigerator. Now, others who've attempted to eat 500 calories a day twice a week often daydream about what it is they're going to eat on their non-fasting days, and it often ends up being not very good options. I've had people that I've worked with that, not through my suggestion, but were doing HCG diets when they worked with me, work between me because they couldn't work out because they're on such low calories, and they would often go for cookies and sugars and cakes and all this stuff that they knew they weren't supposed to have, not to mention that one person in particular had a gluten sensitivity. So another drawback is poor sleep. If you go to bed extremely hungry, it's going to shorten your sleep or at least make you restless. You're going to get up in the middle of the night, probably raid the refrigerator. In some instances, people will eat or drink alcohol in order to go back to sleep. And as I've talked about in the past, that's not so good for weight loss. And this lack of sleep can lead to weight gain. Your body's going to crave energy, and usually in the form of some fast-absorbing sugar found in sweets and sodas. Also, when you're eating less calories and when you're restricting what you're eating, you're getting fewer nutrients. I've said this in other programs, too, that other programs that limit your calorie intake, your body needs a certain amount of calories to perform its daily tasks. And with that comes certain levels of micronutrients that just can't be gotten in 500 to 800 calories a day. Well, what about supplements, Jason? Well, that's actually a whole nother show. But I will tell you that nutrients and supplements just aren't the same quality. These micronutrients, these vitamins and minerals, are perfectly placed in food naturally and ready for your body to absorb. So those are some of the drawbacks. So you probably figured out what my take is. I'm not really for intermittent fasting. I kind of like some of it, but I don't like the complete restriction for 16 hours. So what is my take? I will say that different things work for different people. Some people will swear by intermittent fasting, and it works for them, but others feel it's dangerous and they can't operate that way. I, for myself, am somewhere in the middle, and I offer up this advice. Through my own experimentation, while training for a half Ironman race last year and shredding fat at the same time, I found that meal timing was important along with consuming whole unprocessed foods. Now, with intermittent fasting, they do talk about meal timing. So during a 90-day period, I reduced my body fat from 15.2% to 8.5%. And here's how I did it. I planned my bigger meals before the times of the day that I knew I would be busy and spending the most energy. So that often meant a very large breakfast consisting of oatmeal with nuts and fruit, or even something like a chickpea frittata with some homemade salsa on it and avocado. Now, I often did my long runs and bikes mid-morning just because of my work schedule. As I said, I'm a trainer, so I work with people early in the morning, and the middle of my days are usually open. And then I would have a snack just a few hours before to keep me fueled for my bike ride or my long run. Because, again, often I train other people in the afternoon and evenings, so I would have a mid-sized lunch, too, and then a small dinner consisting of something small like a soup or a salad. Lots of veggies and water to fill up with fiber. When you put that water on top of that fiber, it's going to poof. It's going to inflate in your stomach. It's going to keep you fuller longer. Now, on the flip side, if I planned a big workout in the morning, if I had a rare, you know, early morning off, I would eat more at night so I didn't wake up hungry. Like Thursdays, for example, I work out with one of my clients. So Wednesday nights, like tonight, I'll be eating a bit more at dinner so I can get by on just having maybe a banana about an hour before my workout. So I'll eat more at night so I don't wake up hungry. Now, I was asked by other fitness personnel if my performance dropped off. And in fact, I PR'd my race by about 30 minutes. So again, I was fueling myself for the activities that were about to happen. So yes, I ate bigger meals in the morning and I ate bigger meals at lunch, and then my meals trailed off. They didn't disappear, but they trailed off later in the evening, which is kind of like intermittent fasting, except we're actually going to eat a little bit at night, say 6 o'clock, because then you wake up in the morning and have breakfast, and if you take that word apart, break fast, you're supposed to be breaking your overnight fast. So now what if you're just a normal person? I don't mean just a normal person, I apologize, but so what if you are a normal person with a normal job and family? I would give the same advice. Eat like a king or a queen in the morning, like a peasant during the day, and like a pauper at night. So I would say that to get the majority of your calories at breakfast, because you probably have a busier morning, especially if you work out in the mornings, and lunch with some snacks between and smaller meals before bedtime. So your lunch can be a little bit bigger if you're going to work out right after work at, like, say, 4 or 5 p.m. So have a bigger lunch so you're not – and then another snack before your workout – that way you're not having 800 calories of pasta and bread after your workout or your evening routine when you're settling down. So bottom line is you need to fuel up for the next few hours in accordance with your schedule and your needs. Again, going back to that idea of that different things work for different people. You don't need that 800 calories of pasta and bread if you're going to watch TV or read at night. So make sure you're getting in a majority of your calories in before your workout to fuel yourself through your workout. You wouldn't want to put gas in your car after you've been riding on fumes. You wouldn't want to put it through a long journey or a long trip riding on fumes and then put gas in it later. Doesn't make sense. You want to put gas in your tank, in your personal tank, before you take that trip or before you get involved in high level activity. So also, if you fuel up before some hardcore activities, you're going to be less likely to decimate the fridge afterwards. Ask a lot of marathoners. They will gain weight because they'll go for a 15, 18, 20-mile run, not be fueled up properly, not fueled during their run properly, and then they come home and eat everything in the fridge, and then they go straight to sleep. You don't need those calories. You need some of those calories for your body to recover, but you don't need 800 to 1,000 calories to recover. You just need, as I've stated in previous shows, you need some carbs and some protein for muscle recovery. So thanks for tuning in today. If you have any questions about this or anything else, again, you can find us on Momentum Fitness and Health on Facebook. That's usually the best way to find us. Or, again, find us at findingyourmomentum.com. So join me next week as I discuss the difference between good fats and bad fats. And the following week, I'm going to do the same thing with carbohydrates explaining the difference between good carbohydrates and bad carbohydrates and settling that battle once and for all. So until then, I hope you find your momentum.